following program is a proud member of the Palava family of podcasts. Check out all the shows over at palava.com. That's palava.com.
Welcome to GleeCast, the somewhat occasionally weekly home of Glee and casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
Hey!
It's GleeCast.
I'm not talking in the microphone. Now I'm talking in the microphone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just moved it all over the place, though.
Yeah, that would be correct. So, yes, we're GleeCast. I might die during recording this episode. I'd just like to let you know.
Let's hope you don't.
Right. But in case I do, just to explain, don't even bother with the autopsy. I know what it is. I have the plague. Might be bubonic. I don't know yet. I can't be sure of that. So, I mean, if that's necessary, then sure. Autopsy me. It's fine. But yeah, I kind of feel icky and weird. And I assume it's Captain Trips. It's the... No, Mookie's on the lap. No, he's going to get the plague. That does save me from trying to find a home for Mookie when I die. Hi, Erica.
We have the cats' homes worked out. You don't have to worry about finding them homes.
I forgot that. Yeah. No, it's good to know. I like knowing they're taken care of.
Okay, so we're finally going to talk about... I mean, we'll keep it a short episode since you're dying.
Yeah. As much as I love you and GleeCast, I don't really want these to be my last words, because I'm sure at some point I'll just, like, die on the word cunt. And then that's awkward for my mom and stuff, so... Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to talk about sectionals.
Uh-huh.
I think part of the problem in recording these episodes that we're very behind on is that they aren't that exciting.
Well, do you
agree or disagree?
It totally sounds like I just sent Erica the plague through the microphone, by the way, as she just lets out, like, the tiniest little cough.
Yeah.
I
haven't released last episode yet, but when you'll have heard it by now. I'm still a little coughy from my sick, so.
Okay.
It's left over from my plague, not from yours.
If at the end of the episode, though, when you cough, there's like, you know, you grab like your fine little silk handkerchief and there's the tiniest spot of blood, then, I mean, start and figuring
we're
out.
We're in trouble.
Exactly, because that's always a sign.
But yeah, I think, I don't know, just rewatched this episode today and I just was like, a lot of stuff happened, but it was like tying up loose ends and I'm just not like overly amped to talk about it because I feel like I'm not, I don't know.
There's things about this episode I really liked and I think it'll be obvious once we get there because it's mostly in one area.
Okay, so let's jump right in and you can read the Glee cap.
Okay. This one written by Ross Maxwell, who is another one of the staff writers, who I guess got his moment to shine, and directed by that Bradley Bucher guy who keeps directing episodes of Glee. The episode was Hold On to 16. Was that it?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody in the mood for some white chocolate? New Direction certainly is, as Finn and Rachel recruit Lima's ex-homeless blonde to help them take the prize at sectionals, a feat that might be easier if Quinn makes good on her vow to spill the Puckleberry beans. Pucklebee beans, not Puckleberry beans. My mistake. Some well-timed lectures by Sam and Rachel help sway Quinn over to the bright side, where Tina tries to make Mike fight for his right to party. I mean, dance. Something that becomes guaranteed when Mike Chang Sr. sees his seed sweet-ass stage moves as New Directions, also now with a cuddly truce between Blaine and Finn, take the gold, prompting the treble tones to tone it down as part of New Directions again, where they're guaranteed one number from now on. Teen stud stripped, Quinn's mind flipped, and Will looked on approvingly at what you might have skipped on... Glee.
Yes.
So, a lot did happen.
Sectionals. Yes.
Where do we start?
Are you still moving the microphone?
I've just stopped touching it.
Okay.
I realized I was touching it in a way that might be inappropriate.
Yes. It was a noisy way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, where do you want to start?
How about Sam?
Sam is a stripper now.
As a stripper. Not real. Like, I mean, the kind of stripper that essentially just comes out in his underwear. So, you know, it doesn't seem like it's showgirls. It doesn't seem like he also has to dry hump women or anything. So, but he's making good money, which
he is.
Yeah. But he feels demeaned mostly because Rachel is really judgmental of his lifestyle.
And he basically asked his parents if he could go back to school in Ohio and stay with Finn, I guess.
Hmm. You know, Finn is now the son of a senator. So, I mean, hey.
Oh, yeah.
I was really happy to have Sam back. I like Sam. I think he was, I think the actor is likable, and I think he's a guy that was a victim of Ryan Murphy's flightiness.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, as a character, I think he's, you know, he could have potential, and I think it was good having him here, just because in a way this was a very, you know, the Glee Club in this episode was very male, because most of the girls were either suspended or trouble tones. And so to have Sam in this kind of dynamic with the other guys was nice to see, I thought.
Yeah, it was fine. I don't have a problem with it. His parents seemed very easy to let him go. I thought that was a little odd.
He's got two more kids, you know?
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, it's not like he grew up there. Like, he had just transferred there, and he's like, oh, I want to go back to these friends. What about your other friends, other places? I don't know. It was very strange to me.
Nothing, you forget, nothing exists outside of Lima, Ohio in this universe. Really, Erica.
Except the club Stallions, and I don't know where that is, so.
Yes. Stallions, probably, like, right behind Breadsticks, I'm thinking.
Well, no, because he wasn't in Lima anymore.
Oh, right. He was in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Yeah.
I've heard talk of Kentucky strip clubs. I don't imagine they were as classy as the one we saw, but
anyway,
who knows? So now one other little plot thread that was dangled in front of us regarding Sam was his past fling, a.k.a. it was more than that, Mercedes.
Yes. So apparently he's going to fight to get her back from her big behemoth of a boyfriend.
Which I feel like that is something that was probably the writers realizing, oh, wow, the audience really liked this coupling and we didn't give it to them. So maybe let's try to give it to them now.
Yeah, we didn't see it at all. There was nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't know who's right now. Was it a fling or was it more than that? Although the look on Mercedes' face told us it was more than that.
Yes, for indeed. Sure.
Mm-hmm. So Sam will probably get eaten in the next episode.
Most likely.
I mean, he is white chocolate. Some people like that. It's a little sweet for me, but hey.
I like the white chocolate.
Yeah. I don't know. Right now, if I eat white chocolate, I think I'll die faster than I'm already going to.
Sam has another small moment, which will lead us into talking about Quinn, where he kind of not puts Quinn in her place again, but kind of gets her to realize, like...
Well, let's count. I think three characters put Quinn in her place this episode.
Yeah. So it's Sam, Rachel, and who else?
Shelby.
Yes.
So with Rachel... And Quinn, it was kind of I kind of liked it because these are characters that we know have such a history, and it was viable to see them interact the way they did.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we're kind of friends, aren't we?
Yeah, and I like the, you know, Sam sort of has his own little Yoda creature who can point Quinn in the direction of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shelby, now I wonder if Shelby's gone.
I guess she must be, yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely a goodbye thing. She's, Trouble Tones are gone, so there's no... plot need for her.
Yeah, I guess she's over.
Yeah. So Quinn, I'm curious to hear what Wayne has to say about this episode. I skimmed through his email, but that was like, you know, 5 months ago, so I don't remember. But you know, they definitely again have been paying attention to the whole, hey, the audience is very aware that you do not know what to do with Quinn. So at least admit it. And that's, I think, what they did this episode was like, give her all of those arcs because they know, you know, we expect them.
Yeah. And now maybe she can sort of be normal for a little while.
Yeah, when she goes to Yale.
Yeah, because that's now, realistic.
Yeah, Yale does have a very good drama department. Meryl Streep went there, Christopher Durang, Sigourney Weaver. But, you know, deciding in, like, November when you've done one play, if I'm not sure, I'm mistaken. in which I think you were just kind of a Jets girl. I don't think you had a part. You're totally going to get into Yale, Quinn, for Bray.
Of course she is.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I hope your grades are really good, too. Because I, you know, remember when you were a skank and had, like, straight Cs? Yeah, that might be an issue for Yale. I don't know.
Perhaps. We'll see.
Maybe you're better off applying to NIADA. I don't know.
Well, no, because she, yeah, no.
Okay. So yeah, that was certainly a low point of mine was, you know, she could have said, maybe I'll try Ohio State's theater department and then transfer to Yale or something. But, you know, she's never actually been in the theater department. So I imagine now I was a theater major, but not for acting. But that meant I was amongst theater majors my entire college career. And I'm sure like anybody like the kids I went to college with probably like were throwing their TV at that. Because you don't just decide to go to Yale. Same as you couldn't just decide to go to Fordham. Like, you audition, and it's hard, and blah, 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 blah. But anyway.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Finn and Blaine. This is also finally acknowledged. Again, yeah, a lot like, of, like, emptying tying, of the pitch.
Yeah. Tying up loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
Where
Blaine finally says to Finn, hey, dude, what's your problem?
Yep.
And Finn says, dude, my problem is I'm jealous of you. And yep. Blaine's like, dude, we're cool. And Finn's like, dude. And then they are cool.
And then they're like, dude. And then they hug.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really. They share a prolonged fist bump, though. It was a very long fist bump.
That's the same thing as a male hug. Come on now. So that was that. And then we get
Mike Chang's loose ends.
Mike Chang's loose ends. Like, remember how 2 weeks ago it was like, I'm going to be a dancer because my mom's going to support me. And then this week was like, I'm going to Stanford to be a dog again. Like, they could just go to, like, all of these. It's, I think it's bothering me.
No. I think Mike Chang, his dad had plans for him to go to Stanford. Sure. It's not like that came out of nowhere.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, if I was picking, you know, it's just Yale, Stanford. There are other universities other than the ones that are ridiculously difficult to get into. But anyway. Yes. So then we have Mike being like, no, man, I'm going to do what my dad wants me to because it's tearing apart my family. And Tina's like, no, Mike, do what you really feel. And he's like, no, Tina, you're not my dad. And then Tina sits down with dad and it's like, Mr. Chang, dad, you need to believe in your son. And Mr. Chang, dad's like, no, Tina, you are not going to be famous and your parents are fools. And then he comes to the show anyway and decides that, yes, his son was meant to dance and he's going to help him. And that's that. Wow, that was easy.
Yep. And Tina already applied to all the schools for him, so we don't have to worry about those pesky late applications.
Right. Now, I guess the essay was just done already.
Well, there is the Common App a lot, so.
But aren't there
maybe
still,
he filled out one essay for the Common App and.
And she
just
hacked into his computer because, you know, she's Asian and can do that and got all the details, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what happened.
I'm looking forward to figuring out what dance schools he goes to.
Juilliard? Well, she said Alvin Ailey.
So Fordham represent.
Yep, exactly. I was like, that's where Alicia went. That's what I said, actually.
In that voice, I bet, too.
I did. It's true.
Yeah.
What
and
else?
And lastly, I guess, we have the sectionals.
Yeah. Which... Well,
should we talk about those, or should we wait until the
we'll
songs?
Let's just wait until the songs.
Okay.
All right, this
will be a quick episode.
This will be like a 25-minute episode. We're like, all right.
It's okay. That means I can make a lot of confessions to my cats, which I'm really looking, you know. I have a list, and I'm worried I'm not going to get to read all my deathbed confessions out, so this will be give me a little more time to do that.
So it will also be a very morbid episode.
Well, I'm not going to read them on the show, Erica.
I suppose.
This is private between me, Mookie, and Joplin. Actually, it's between me and Mookie, and then me and Joplin, and then all three together.
Okay.
Yeah.
One last.
I did have one last note, which was we had Sebastian in this episode.
We did. Kind of setting things up and throwing down the gauntlet a little bit.
And now we know something about regionals, which is who are New Directions going to be competing against?
The Warblers.
They won their round. Do we remember what happened to Vocal Adrenaline, by the way?
I guess they just didn't make it this year because didn't.
Well, Goolsby was
left.
Fired.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious if we're supposed to be thinking about them or not.
I don't think so. I mean, I guess now that like Jesse's gone, they don't really have.
Although, isn't he coming back?
I don't know.
Isn't everybody coming back?
Why would
Josh Groban one day? One day, Josh Groban, we're all waiting for you with open arms.
It's true.
All right, so songs.
Songs. Perhaps the oddest song on Glee thus far.
I would agree.
Red Solo Cup by Toby Keith. What I didn't understand, it's a fine song. It's a country song. That's fine. What I didn't understand is how this applied to these kids, these high school children in any way, and why Sam was like, we need more country in here. Like, he didn't sing.
Well, he lives in Kentucky now. He lives in Kentucky, Erica.
For 6 months.
Right, that's enough. It's, you know, it is enough to light the fire in your veins.
Okay.
Now, as far as your confusion, take comfort in knowing that Kurt's with you on that.
Oh, I know. I saw his expressions. I'm glad he was on my side.
Kurt was more baffled than, you know, than somebody who would be really baffled at something that's incredibly baffling.
He was quite confused. I was right there with him. I was like, Kurt, me and you,
See, the first time on this go-around, I was kind of like, this is really weird. Watching it again, you know, a couple of hours ago, I was totally won over by it. I'm like, yeah, it's weird, but it's so cute. Like, they're all having so much fun. And I thought every character was having fun with it.
Well, here's the thing. I enjoyed My Cup by Britney Spears far more than Red Solo Cup by Toby Keith.
I did not, I think. Because, I don't know, I just felt like every person in that room was reacting to the song in a very character way, which I really liked.
I don't know. It was odd for me.
It was weird.
It was an odd choice. Yeah.
Like, this is one that I would watch this scene again, but I would have no desire to ever listen to this song again.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lisa.
Oh, did you love it? Or is it just because it's country?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just apologizing because it's country.
Lisa, I kind of liked it.
Then what?
When Those Eyes.
Yes, which is from Evita and was sung by Harmony and the Unitards.
Now, they pulled a Vocal Adrenaline where they basically had one person just sing the entire song.
Yes, but we also, in theory, they performed two other songs we didn't see.
Oh, so. That is very true, very true. Yeah, let's get that out of the way because I know a lot of people complain about like, oh, why did New Directions sing three numbers and everybody else sang one? No, they're
just
like,
didn't see it.
Yeah, we're accepting that they edited around the other numbers that each group sang.
Yes.
Now, this was the return of Lindsay? Yes, Lindsay.
Yeah.
From the Glee Project, Glee Project third runner-up, I guess.
Yeah, what did they get? They got two episodes? Is that it? So she's done, or was it three?
I thought it was two episodes.
I think it was two.
I think it was seven for Damien and Samuel, and two for Lindsay and Alex.
Alex, yeah.
I'm not sure, though. I'm sure that they could very easily decide to give them more things to do, because what else does she have going on? Yeah. I would be so happy if they did, because I like her.
I liked her
on the show. I liked her on Glee. I like the character they're setting up as this, like, you know, and we've seen them do the, like, you know, Rachel's doppelganger thing, but I like that she really is crazy.
And she said, I'm only a sophomore. Imagine what I'll do next year, which gives them the perfect chance to bring her on to New Directions next year.
Oh, yeah. Very
which they should said. Listen to us and bring her on to New Directions next year.
I occasionally do. This performance itself, how did you like it?
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
I just love this song, and I like watching Lindsay perform, and I liked their red dresses, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
I agree. I just thought, her voice is, you know, she can sing musical theater, so she does fine with it.
Yep.
The dancing was fun. I loved when they kind of cut to the audience and they show Rachel and Kurt, and both of them are totally mouthing the words because they know this song. This is Evita.
Yep. That's my fave. And because it's so true to life, because you know you're going to be sitting in the audience singing along. You're not going to.
Mm-hmm. I did that when I saw Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin. And as I was doing it, I was thinking, oh God, if they see me, then Patti LuPone is going to literally chew my head off because that's how she gets her singing power. but it's hard not to when you know the words.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a very real moment. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, like that.
It was one of my high points for sure.
Okay, cool.
Next was the Treble Tones.
Yep, and they have a mashup of I Will Survive and I'm a Survivor.
Survivor.
God damn it. Finally, I'm like, I think I got it.
Do you know who sang them both?
I know that. Is it Beyonce or Destiny's Child?
It's Destiny's Child.
Okay.
And? You don't know who sang I Will Survive?
Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah,
right?
Thank you. Yeah. This was great. I'm sorry.
This was great. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it was really good. And, you know, I love that Finn and was like kind of like, you know, we got this. And then they bust out the mashup and everybody was like, oh, snap.
Yeah. And it was just great to see. I think Santana and Mercedes, it's been established, they make a great vocal pair.
They do.
And so for the two of them to sing, the dancing was fine. I thought Mercedes was moving finally, which, you know, has often been addressed by me and some other characters that she doesn't do it well. But I loved the energy of this one.
Yep. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And now we move on to the winning number.
Yes. We had three songs. I guess it was sort of a Jackson medley of sorts. Do you want to do them one by one?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So first was ABC by the Jackson 5, sung by New Directions.
Now, when I saw this the first time, I really liked it. Having since then tried to karaoke this song on the Rock Band with Jason Fozzie Bear from last week. I learned it's a really hard song to karaoke. So I have to give them even more credit than I did the first time.
It's such a fun song. I can't believe they hadn't done it yet. Like, I feel like it's such a mainstay of that type of performance.
Mm-hmm.
But I really loved it.
Yeah, it was just cute and energetic. And you know that if you were in that audience, you'd be standing up and clapping along.
For sure.
And I loved that it was Tina's turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Tina is one of the jokes of kind of New Directions in a way of how, like, you know, oh, it's the token Tina line of the episode. And in this one, you know, I think it's easy to forget that she's actually a good performer as an actress.
She is.
And, you know, she was like, and she has, what I really like about her as an actress is that she has like a face that when it's kind of lit up, it's really like contagious, I think. When she's singing and having a good time and smiling, like you're just smiling along with her. Because I think she has that like openness in her face that, you know, I think is appealing.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Next we did a Janet Jackson song, which was Control.
Okay. I clearly didn't write it down. So yeah, we did. And this one was kind of more Quinn taking the lead, right?
Yeah. Which was fine for her character wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just felt like this was an odd song choice. First of all, I feel like I get this song confused with another Janet Jackson song.
Okay.
The one that's like, dun, 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 dun. I don't know what song that is, but I feel like I get them confused, and I kept expecting that to happen during the performance, and it never happened.
Okay.
So I felt kind of disappointed and let down by it. And I also felt like maybe they should have started with this and ended with ABC. Because I just felt like this, Man in the Mirror
this was the lull, definitely, of the three. This was the less exciting song.
But, I mean, and next, obviously, we have Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. That I mean, that's kind of slow. I feel like that's not... I mean, it gets...
But it's that upbeat ballad. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that would have been a better opener. And then...
Well, I guess in terms of, like, meaning, I think Man in the Mirror is the most, you know, the deepest, I guess, too.
Yeah.
You know, so ending on ABC would be cute, but, like, you end with Man in the Mirror, and it's like, oh, I'm saying something about mankind. Ugh.
Which,
that's how you appear to the DMV.
I don't know. They didn't have that much to say about mankind, did they really?
I don't know.
I just wish the order would have been different. Okay. Control felt, I don't know, it was odd. It felt a little flat for me. A Man in the Mirror was good, but again, I feel like they could have picked a stronger end song and had that someplace else in the medley.
Okay, fair enough. The only other note I had on that medley was that Will gave his token look of approval.
Of course he did.
Yeah. And it was very pointed, like, as soon as it happened, it was just so, like, razor glass, drink.
Matthew Morrison hasn't had anything to do this season.
No, but there's rumors that he will soon.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for a little more Will in my life.
As long as they can do something useful with him and not the same story they keep doing and not... Yeah.
And not breaking up with Emma again.
Yeah. Or him doing the whole, I'm going to go to Broadway and perform. No, I'm going to stay. I'm going to go. No, I'm going to stay. That.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah.
Well... We shall not talk of that again.
Indeed.
So that's all the music.
No, it's not. No, it's not. There's one more.
No, it's not. There's
one
more.
I don't know what its song title was, and I didn't even try to write it down, clearly. Yeah.
It's We Are Young by Fun featuring Janelle Monáe. Obviously, you could tell how I felt about the song because I wanted to just skip over it completely. It's not that I didn't like it. I don't know the song. I feel like it wasn't memorable. It was just another, you know, it reminded me of the Chemical Romance song.
Yep, exactly. I don't know music very well. I assumed it was by the same band because it seemed like it could have been. I wrote down in my notes, oh, right, the token shaky cam song.
Yeah.
Because it is totally what they've done at the end of a lot of these like bigger episodes is they end with a song where the whole Glee Club sings and the camera's kind of shaky because it's showing everybody and it's fine. I mean, I like the vocal mix in it. I like, again, that, you know, Santana gets a big note and Rachel gets a big note. Mercedes does. Like, I like that a lot, but I could take or leave the actual scene, I guess.
Yeah, it was
Yep.
Not much to say about it.
Yep. I hear.
So that ties up the music.
Moving right along. Bum, 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 dun, dun, dun. We're moving right along. Okay. High notes.
High notes. I absolutely heart that Blaine started the Dalton Fight Club that he obviously cannot talk about.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah. I missed that the first time around. The second time around, found it.
It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Finn thought Backdraft was a musical.
Well, you know, if you've watched, oh God, what the, as I die, I don't know if I've told you this, like you lose a lot of your memories. Not Best in Show. Waiting for Guffman. Backdraft is a musical.
Nice.
Remember? Flames. Yeah.
I've only seen that like once, but.
Oh, shame.
I need to see it again. I know. I like that. I didn't look at your high notes, so I don't know if
okay,
I'm saying
keep going,
any of yours.
I'll eliminate mine as you do.
It was mostly lines. If you haven't told by now, I love all of Puck's nicknames for the band kids who are going to fill in for them.
I forgot about them. Yeah.
Yeah. Chapstick McGee and someone else. And, I have it written down where to go. I just lost it. Tromboner.
Yeah.
I forget what he calls his first name though.
Well, I like that they were finally acknowledged as existing.
Oh, Johnny Tromboner. Yeah. Even if they don't have actual names.
Right. That's okay. They don't need them. But as long as people are like, oh yeah, this guy's actually here. That's good.
It was a nice way to quickly fill in the missing members they needed. I love all the whole exchange between Sebastian and Kurt, where he calls him his smirky little meerkat face.
Yeah.
His CW hair and the smell of Craigslist.
Mm-hmm. I also like just as soon as he sat down, he just looked at Sebastian and just goes, I don't like you.
Yep.
I loved it.
It was great. And I think I had one more thing. Oh, I love, you go and then I'll end with this because it segues into a low note.
Okay. Again, I like that they acknowledge the fact that Quinn has been acting crazy. I loved Harmony and I loved her line, you know, just think I'm only a sophomore and already this good. Next year's going to be like a bloodbath. I really liked, now I've been, you know, got on record as being mixed on Sugar Mata.
Yep.
And not just because she has a stupid name, but she had this one moment where when they introduced the judges for sectionals, and I like that. I like that it was the employee of the month of the DMV, who of course looks like she wants to kill you.
Yep.
The, who was the other one?
The judge.
Right. An honorable judge. And Tickles, the Lima's best birthday clown. And like when they announced him, they cut to the kid sitting down and Sugar has this look of glee on her face that was really, really cute.
Yep. I was very excited about the clown.
Yeah. I wrote down something in my notes and I have no idea what it means.
What'd you write?
Welcome back, Lisa.
Oh, yes. That is my last high note that segues into a low note. Are you done with your other high notes?
Yeah, because I'm really curious to see what this means.
Santana, when Trouty Mouth comes back, her first line is welcome back, Lisa Rinna, which is a great line.
Yes.
Because I feel like not everyone knows who Lisa Rinna is.
As a fan of 90210 during the Bo and Billy days, I do.
Yes. As a fan of Veronica Mars, I do know who she is.
Okay. But
it segues into Santana's entire welcome back rant to him, all her put downs. Will is standing there with a look of disgust on his face, like he's appalled that she's calling him all these things, but does nothing to like stop her, which was a low note for me. I don't know. I feel like it was very odd of him to be like, all right, I'm going to let her, you know, after the episodes we just had where we had to get her to stop making fun of Finn and we had, she just came out and she's been in a hurt situation for him to not say something. It was,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
If they wanted to not have him say something, it just should have been done not in front of him.
Fair enough. I can see that.
Because it bothered me that he was there and had nothing to say about it.
Okay. I accept that. My only low notes, I kind of talked about both of them. Quinn's decision to go to Yale. And I think Mike's arc was just so clumsy. Like, I mean, because I think we really like Mike. I think they did good things with his arc. But this episode just felt like so wrap it, tie it up.
Yep. So
camp
easy.
It, done. Yeah. And like, I don't know, like, why did the dad ever... Like, I didn't see the change in the dad. Like, and that wasn't Mike's best performance. That wouldn't have swayed me if I were his dad.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Yep.
My probably biggest low note of the episode was that it's named after the freaking John Mellencamp song, and they did not sing it.
Fair enough.
Because I fucking love that song.
Uh-huh, I can see that.
And Sam is even like, my favorite John Mellencamp song. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, sing it now. And she's like, oh God, don't sing it. I'm like, no.
Right.
I want you to sing that song. I love that song. That, and I feel like I had one more thing. Oh, and Quinn actually referenced her fat backstory from the season that shall not be named.
Yes, that's always good to hear.
Which really just annoyed me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it was like, why are you even referencing this? I thought we all agreed to pretend this didn't happen.
Yes. Sorry, I touched something on my computer and things went away. And I hope they're coming back. Okay. Ah.
What sort of things went away?
I don't know. Oh. No, we're good. We're good. Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Anything else?
No, I am good.
I feel like I had...
I mean, I'm dying, but I'm good.
Oh, I like the observation that even homeless people have Facebook, which I was not aware of. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Feedback.
Feedback. We have two pieces of feedback. Thank you, feedbackers.
Oh, you didn't forward me the other piece of feedback.
It's in the email. Are you not?
No, I know it's in the GleeCast email.
Excuse me. I never saw that.
I asked you in the Skype conversation before we came over.
Okay, wait.
Sorry. I just have to log out and log back in because I was working from my...
No, I can send it to you right now.
No, I already locked out.
Okay.
All right, I'll sign into GleeCast.
Okay. You should know that I was just trying to type your name in the email and gibberish was coming up because apparently I had my finger on something else. I am... this is...
rough. Yeah, I had asked you to email it to me just because... I was working from my email because that's where my notes were because I emailed my notes to myself.
Well, I didn't see your email, Erica. I'm dying. I have more important things to think about.
It was a Skype. You answered me, but it's fine. It's not a big deal. I'm already logged in. So we have two pieces of feedback. I will read Helene's.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She says, good morning, Erica and Emily. I had to send some feedback on the sectionals episode, number 8, whatever the one with Sam. Well, that was parenthetically number 8, whatever, the one with Sam. If only to prove that, yes, I'm able to get excited over things about Glee that have absolutely nothing to do with Kurt and Blaine. The kid and I were cheering and dancing in our seats all through this episode, and I think it is actually the best episode overall of the show since season 1. Like, beginning to end, there was nothing I didn't like. Okay, Finn's confession and apology to Blaine was a little rushed, but hey, this is Glee. I just tell myself that while Blaine was going and changing into that ridiculously hot tank top and working up that ridiculously hot sweat, Kurt bitched at Finn for being a jerk to his boyfriend, and Finn had a nice long think about why he felt so threatened by Blaine before going and talking to him. You do really have to make this shit up in your head when you watch the show. But thank goodness they finally actually addressed the issue and resolved it. I'm so thrilled that Sam is back. Thrilled that he's making no bones about wanting to get back with Mercedes, in large part because I love the portmanteau Sam-Sadies. I have no idea why I like it, but I do. I'm usually very anti-portmanteau.
It rolls off the tongue well.
It does, Sam-Sadies. It's fast. I love Quinn finally getting some equilibrium and Shelby finally acting like an adult. I love the band guy stepping up to be in the group. Love the whole Mike, Tina, Mr. Chang arc. Just on a side note, have you noticed Quinn's shoes? She has like the best shoes ever. I seriously want a pair. She does have good
totally
shoes.
Didn't look at that.
The sectionals were, in my opinion, the best competition performances since regional season 1, where Finn told Rachel he loved her and Quinn gave birth to Bohemian Rhapsody. Who knew losing Rachel Berry would be the best thing that could happen in New Directions? Please, please let them keep the trend of actually letting everyone have something to do in competition numbers. I'm pretty sure that this was the first time Kurt was featured in any competition as a member of New Directions.
Thank you. I think she's right about that.
Yeah. I was starting to wonder why he bothered leaving the Warblers. There was a moment in Man in the Mirror when the guys were all standing in separate spots, and I thought, this is how these things should be done. Why do we have to always default to a Rachel solo and then a Rachel Finn duet? I don't even care that New Directions did 3 songs to everyone else's 1. Whatever. They were fun songs, and they made me happy. And the I Will Survive mashup rocked. Even the obvious editing around Amber Riley's lack of dance ability didn't bug me because she looked really pretty. Yeah. And that last number when the two groups came together at the end, I've never heard it before, but it may be my new favorite song. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Love is my theme for this episode. So given the theme, I'm going to make one more plea for my love of Sebastian. You have to admit that coffee shop scene was way too much fun. We were laughing out loud. Sebastian is pretty much the only person who doesn't treat Kurt like he's made of glass.
You mean porcelain?
Like he's made of porcelain, which is refreshing. She did actually write glass.
I know. I'm saying Helene meant porcelain.
I know. But the way we said it, it sounded like I read it wrong. So I was just making sure
I'm sorry.
Our listeners knew that we were saying.
Erica didn't fuck up. Helene did.
porcelain, which is refreshing. And who else could give Kurt the opportunity to say things like, I don't like your smirky little meerkat face, which just may be the best line of all season. Plus, he was genuinely cheering for New Directions at the competition, even after saying they were a joke, which reinforces what I've said about him giving... about him giving in with good grace when he loses. He's an interesting character, and I so can't wait to see them all square off at regionals. Until next time, Helene. I think we kind of addressed, like, every point she made. Except we did it a little more negatively than she did.
Yes, I don't. We, you know, clearly didn't have the adoration that Helene did.
Yes.
I mean, like I said, I think the songs in this episode were really fun, even when they were bizarre. I, you know, really enjoyed that aspect of the show. I just think some of the plotting was messy and just was a little kind of amateurish. Although I do agree that if I could get more scenes like the Sebastian Kurtz scene, then yes, I will accept more of him.
Yeah. And as long as Blaine doesn't screw up and go to Sebastian over Kurt.
Right. Because that will make me cry a lot.
And that's kind of the inevitable place that the Glee writers would take it, I feel like.
Do that. That's going to make me die faster, you know.
Yep. Me too, so.
Okay. Our other email is from Wayne Kaki, whose title is, When Those Kids Start Squealing, I Need Sectional Healing. Miss Blanche and Baby Jane. We can fight about who gets who later.
Okay.
I will not lie to you. This was a tough week for me, seeing as how I despise Shelby and how much of the episode served as an infomercial for that very character, with several heartfelt impromptu soliloquies on her behalf. Also, I've never cared much for the song Jack and Diane, which provided both the episode's title and its moral. I thought the John Cougar Mellencamp's advice about holding on to 16 was dumb when I was 16, and I don't think any more highly of it now. I guess it depends on how much fun you had when you were 16. Instead of writing a bitter diatribe about my complaints, which I actually did, then sensibly deleted, I will instead drive into random observations and try to find both good and bad points about this complex episode. Coincidentally, it seems like Rachel Berry is the same boat as Leslie Knope on Parks and Recreation this week. They're both suspended, Rachel from school, Leslie from work, but they're both so driven that they can't stay away. Leslie is a much more admirable character than Rachel, even as the latter is almost entirely motivated by self-interest. That's a good point. Now, I only started watching Parks and Rec recently, and I love it. And the last episode made me sob like a baby. Yeah.
I don't think Parks and Rec has ever made me cry.
Did you watch the last 2 weeks?
What happened on... Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm current. I DVR them and then watch them.
The declaration of LOVE and the Christmas presents and how it ends... What?
Maybe my DVR cut off the end. I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
Did you see the Christmas episode?
Yeah, I saw the Christmas episode.
That didn't make you cry?
No.
When they're all like, you do so much for us, we're going to stand here for you. That didn't make you cry. You are made of stone.
It was very sweet. I didn't cry. I tend to do a lot of other things when I watch television. I probably wasn't
like, just not cry.
Paying close attention.
Not cry.
Yeah, like okay. Not cry.
Weird. All right. Wayne continues. Even when she's got serious things going on in her life, Quinn seems to spend a lot of time walking the halls of McKinley in a slow, dreamy, almost regal fashion. It seems like that's one of Glee's favorite ways to start an episode. Rachel mysteriously alludes to Quinn's doing a lot of really bad things. A lot, she says. Mind you, this was the same Rachel who once dispatched Sunshine Corazon to a crack house. Perhaps Rachel is confusing Quinn with John Wayne Gacy. Now, Mr. Gacy, that's someone who's done a lot of really bad things. In comparison, Quinn's attempts at villainy are always half-hearted and short-lived. In this episode alone, Quinn patiently endures lecture after lecture from the other characters and looks sad and thoughtful after every one of them. Really bad people don't do that, Rachel. Quinn did do one really bad thing.
Which is?
You know, tell Finn that he's the father of her baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of
terrible.
That was bad. Okay, I mean, I know, you know, many of us don't care much for Finn, but that was a pretty shitty thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, Wayne continues. We need star power. We need Sam Evans. Make up your mind, Finn. Which one do you need? Oh, Sam.
Poor Sam.
The coffee shop scene at the Lima Bean with Blaine, Kurt, and Catface Meowmers is definitely one of the highlights of the episode. Zippy, funny, entertaining, and setting up some tasty future conflicts. Ladies, there's no reason to hate Sebastian. He is no credible threat to Kurt. He's just there to be a villain, and unlike Quinn, he gets to actually enjoy being a villain. While he can, let's savor the dishy, snarky repartee between these characters. A put-down like, you smell like Craigslist, justifies this whole storyline as far as I'm concerned. Have some fun with this, Gleecasters. Kurt and Blaine are going to be just fine.
I don't know about that.
I don't know either, but I will agree that I had fun with it. Yep. Okay. Okay. Blaine is being uncharacteristically mopey and defeatist. He's one step away from singing, "Nobody likes us. Everybody hates us." This is not the Blaine America fell in love with. What's up with Kurt's collar? It's intentional, but what is the intention? I didn't notice the collar.
Was that like, at one point he had on like a button down that had a random slit underneath the collar. It was very strange.
I didn't know that.
Kind of like the half sweater. I don't know.
Yeah, he's experimenting. Very, you know, Donna Martin did that in like season 5 of 90210. Rachel seems to be treating the search for Sam Eddington death as a mystery to be solved, which explains why she's dressed as Sherlock Holmes. Party Rock Anthem will be haunting us at wedding receptions for decades. You realize that,
yes,
right?
Yes, it will. I kind of like it, though, so.
Okay. The storyline with Sam's dad is another classic Glee cul-de-sac. They set up Beauduc, Sam's father, as some kind of stern, unwavering ogre who will never, never let Sam return to McKinley. And then 40 seconds later, Sam and Beau are hugging it out in the kitchen. What was the point of this? This is the second time in Glee history that a character has sung a heartfelt love song to a cup. I'm sure you have mentioned this already, but it bears repeating. Sudden inspiration. Someone should totally do a parody of Red Solo Cup called Two Girls, One Cup. Hang on. I've got to get this idea to Weird Al Yankovic while it's still temporarily funny to me. It looks like Mike Chang has joined Team Zaizu. Sweet. Zaizu. I know what Zaizu is. What is Zaizu?
I don't know.
Oh, Steve Zaizu? The Wes Anderson movie? Look at the aquatic life of Steve...
Zissou?
Am I saying it wrong? Maybe.
Is it actually... Steve?
No, it just said team.
Finish the rest... No, you're saying Steve. Finish the rest of the sentence?
It looks like Mike Chang has joined Team Zaizu. Sweet!
I don't know what that means.
Okay. I'm sorry, Wayne. Remember, we're both working at, I would say at this point, 15% of my capabilities. I don't know about Erica. She might be at like 28. More slow footage of Quinn walking. What did I tell you? Perhaps a spinoff is in order here. The walking Quinn. Quinn endures her second lecture of the episode at the hands of dim bulb Sam. How embarrassing for her. You only get one senior year, Sam. Not on Glee. They speak English in Ireland, right? They don't have some kind of special leprechaun language or anything, do they? Can I get a decoder ring for this kid? That's funny. But if I laugh, it's going to hurt.
Poor Damien.
Have Blaine and Sam ever been in a scene together before? Why are they instantly rivals? This is stupid. That's a really good point. They have not been. Blaine, you're wearing boxing gloves. Finn's face is right there. Do I need to draw you a roadmap? Sam Sadies, still cute. I'm on board for this, Glee. Sue's only appearance on this episode? A Nook commercial. Yep, no Sue. Again, no need for her. And I'm glad they didn't try to shoehorn her in where she wasn't necessary. If Mike becomes a doctor, Tina, he might be dying on the inside, but he'd be preventing people from actually dying in reality. The world needs doctors more than it needs dancers. Ooh, that is a philosophical question for the gods. The New Directions uniforms make them look like a crew of a love boat, while the T-Tones are dressed like Jiffy Pop.
Jiffy Pop.
Like Jiffy Pop. They were dressed like Jiffy Pop. That's funny.
They were.
The sectional judge, I think I'm going to have to do like the Muppet, in the Muppets, Chris Cooper's maniacal laugh instead of actually laughing.
Maniacal laugh.
I'm just going to have to go maniacal laugh.
I have a bone to pick about that. Have you listened to the soundtrack yet?
No, but I read about the alternate ending of the Muppets. No, there is an alternate plot thread in the Muppets that explains him a little more.
That explains him saying maniacal laugh.
Because he can't laugh.
It's in the song. Right. Why couldn't they just put that verse
in the
song?
I don't know. Because it changed the ending, too. Like, there was more to it. A mild spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen the Muppets yet. If you haven't, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
At the telethon, there's a moment where Fozzie hits the telethon numbers and they reveal something. Yeah. From that point on, it's an alternate ending to what the original script was and the original filming was. So it was a little different. I don't know if it'll be on the DVD, but you can poke around and look at it and you can see that.
Why'd they put the extended version of the song on the soundtrack?
Because it was already recorded. So, yeah.
That's just silly.
They did that with Labyrinth. There's, you know, the whole Chili Down song with the orange people. There is a rap verse in that song. And that rap verse ain't in the movie.
I feel like the explanation that's in the song would have worked with the ending that was there anyway.
No. I haven't actually heard the extended song yet. But I know, like, from reading what the ending is. And it it makes more sense. It kind of robs the movie of one really great moment, I thought, if they'd gone with that ending. So I don't know. But yeah.
Well, you'll have to tell me that ending off air because we should finish this.
I don't really remember it. So you're going to have to Google it.
I'm going to have to actually look for it.
It meant there was no scene of them walking out onto the street.
Oh.
Which that, to me, like, broke me. I mean, I cried throughout the movie, but that made me cry a lot.
Well, basically, all they say in the song is that the Muppets were at his birthday party and he couldn't laugh. He didn't laugh, and his friends made fun of him and laughed, and he couldn't laugh. Like, that's all they say. And
but
it
I think
explains...
there's then more like, he has a bigger role at the end then. Like, it must be, that thread must be resolved, I guess.
But it is resolved because
it's resolved,
laughs,
but you don't, yeah. Right, but you don't know, like, it doesn't make sense why he's laughing, why we should care that he's laughing. I don't know, Erica. I'm not Jason Segel, okay?
Take it up with him.
Do it. Or take it up with his Muppet avatar, because that would be fun.
Yeah, it would. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. The sorry, section, sorry, Wayne, for the aside. The sectionals judge, who's an actual judge, looks very much like Fran Lebowitz and or Jackie Hoffman, either of whom would make great guest stars for Glee. Fran wouldn't do it, but Jackie would. I felt bad for the DMV employee of the month, who obviously did not want to be there. Sugar Mata's dad has definitely hired Tickles to perform at many of his daughter's birthday parties. Agreed? Oh, God, yes. Wait, the unitards aren't wearing unitards? That would be like calling your show choir the giant foam cowboy hats and then having them wear yarmulkes. That would be terrible, too. Quentin gets lectured, part three. Wayne rapidly loses interest. Oh, Jesus. The Kia gerbils are dancing to Party Rock Anthem. I really hate that song. The confrontation between Shelby and Quinn is, for me, the low light of this episode. I'm sick of the canonization of St. Shelby, and it was too convenient for baby Beth to come down with a fever at exactly the right time so we could see Shelby being a concerned mom. Very good point. Yeah, this kid gets sick a lot.
Yeah. Well, the last time she fell, she wasn't sick.
She was sick before that, though, I think.
Oh, well, she's a baby.
Well, take care of your fucking baby. A concerned mom who does her parenting over the phone, mind you. What's worse is that Quinn brings up a perfectly valid point, which Shelby never answers. For Shelby to dangle Beth in front of Quinn was manipulative and irresponsible. And Shelby just gets it to bullshit her way out of it by repeating the same, hold on to 16 crap that Sam already said. Besides, this is now the fourth time Quinn has been lectured in the span of a single episode. It's hard to believe Glee has never done I Will Survive before. Good point. And now they'll never have to do it again. I'm not against that song, but this version was nothing special, and mashing it up with Survivor seems a little pat.
Oh, I disagree.
I disagree, because I thought it was done well.
I agree. With you.
Thank you. By this point in the episode, I'm not sure what will turn the tide for me. A multi-song tribute to the Jackson family? Meh, sort of. Oh, hey, the Stern parent shows up at the last minute to the kids' big concert. Who'd have guessed that? I mean, besides anyone who'd ever seen a TV show before. Seriously, Roger Ebert has a whole entry for this particular cliche in his little movie glossary. Yep. Jenna Auschwitz has a really nondescript voice. Not unpleasant or anything, just kind of there. Vocal wallpaper, if you will. Aw, but she has a nice face. Let me say that I've been against Man in the Mirror from the day it was unleashed like a plague upon the world in the 1980s. And this is coming from someone who's watched at least 5 seasons of American Idol and has thus heard that dreaded and dreadful song countless times. Hard to believe Glee has never done the song before either. It always irks me how people pronounce the word mirror when they sing it. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. As a kid, I had no idea how to spell mirror because nobody from Long Island says mirror. On the plus side, Wayne looks good in a dark suit. Looks good in a dark suit. You should start wearing those. Wayne, I'm sure you also look good.
You look good in a dark suit also.
So I guess Tina managed to slip some ecstasy into my dad's coffee or something. Otherwise, this change of heart would feel phony and rushed and unearned. And Glee would never let itself be of any of those things.
No.
As an award-winning clown, it's nice for once to be working with kids who are just sick with talent. Line of the episode, baby. Line of the episode. Please, Glee, have mercy and bring back Tickles. You came in 3rd out of 3 unitards. Cheer down. More slow-mo as the inevitable happens.
Wait, can I comment on that? Because I thought that too. I was like, why are they so excited that they're coming in third? But it's because she's a sophomore and she placed.
But there's only 3 of them.
Yeah, I know, but they're still excited. Like she has reason to be excited because she still made it to, you know, she's only a sophomore. She has 2 more years, and she got 3rd place. So next year, 2nd, then finally 1st. So,
okay, I'll accept
like,
that.
I did initially go to write that down, and then I was like, oh no, right after that, she says, I'm a sophomore. Imagine what I could do next year. So she's just amped to be there.
Okay, fair enough. I will accept that.
Thank you.
More slow-mo as the inevitable happens. Yada, yada, yada. New Directions happy, T-Jones sad. Why are theater lights so loud when they're turned off? It's the same reason that knives are really loud when you take them out of the knife holder in horror movies. So Quinn went down to the principal's office in order not to tell on Shelby. Sure, Glee, that makes sense. Like, Rachel and Quinn couldn't have had the same exact confab at their lockers. I thought that, too. Symbolism. In their scene at the beginning of the show, Quinn's wearing a hat and Rachel isn't. In their last scene at the end, it's reversed. That has to mean something, right? Come on, Glee. I've invested an hour in this thing. Give me something to cling to. Oh, God. Now Quinn's caught the lecture bug and gets to deliver one herself. Once again, the theme is about the importance of staying young. Please let this episode end. And it all does finally end with another upbeat song. This one performed against a blue sky background, for crying out loud. And guess what the song is about? Yep, the same thing the whole episode was about. Being young. Glee must think its viewers suffer from aphasia and will forget the moral if not speeches and songs throughout the entire episode. Wayne, remember home? Home? Home. It's a place called home. Oh well, at least the T-Tones brought my dear sweet sugar along with them. Sigh. This was some rough sledding for me, ladies. Apart from the llama bean scene and Tickles the Clown, there wasn't much that I enjoyed here. Even something that would normally have worked, like Gangbusters on Me, Santana reading some admittedly quite clever insults to Sam, mysteriously fell flat. Hopefully, this will at least end the Quinn-Shelby baby mama drama, a storyline which started with such promise before quickly becoming intolerable. Next week, I think of the Christmas show. How can you not love Christmas shows? Not like they would do something totally jackass, like giving already expensive robot legs that he would never use or mention again. Oh, wait, never mind. Yours in eternal youth, Wayne Kotke. Wayne, don't you worry. We're going to talk about that Christmas episode soon.
Very soon.
Uh-huh. P.S. Did Finn actually say that they were going to do, quote-unquote, the impossible this week? Come on, Finn. Your mediocre Glee Club beat two other mediocre Glee Clubs. You didn't achieve cold fusion or cure cancer or anything. P.B.S. Never mind. P.B.S. S.P.P.S. It occurred to me that Hold On To 16 is a hilarious title when you consider that Glee is a show about 20-somethings playing teenagers. Oh, they're holding on to 16, all right. Holding on by their fingernails. Wayne, of course, you may find him at d2rights.blogspot.com.
Of course.
I love how different him and Helene gave us.
I know. They were like polar opposite emails.
That's always very fascinating to me when a show can be so divisive.
And I feel like we fell somewhere in the middle.
I think so. I mean, I think we both liked some things about it, didn't like other things about it. I think we see Wayne's points as much as we see Helene's points. And I think So interesting.
It was a very balanced episode for us.
Yes. Unlike my blood cells right now, which are probably very imbalanced, which is why something is attacking my immunity system.
Let's get you out of here.
Sounds good.
You can email us at gleecast@gmail.com, gleecast with a K. You can find me on Twitter, Eric is Knits, or at www.knitsasmallworld.com.
You can find me at Deadly Dolls on Twitter and at deadlydollshouse.com on the internet.
And as always, visit our forums at palaver.com. That's palavr.com. And, we will be back soon with the Christmas episode.
Or the ghost of Emily will be back.
True. Episode. I will have to get out my Ouija board and hold a seance to record that episode. But I will do it for you, Glee Cast.
It's going
to
be annoying for the microphone because, I mean, like, you're going to get a lot of white noise, is what I'm saying. But we can do it.
I'll translate. It'll be fine.
For you listeners, anything.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.